Colossians chapter 2. Appreciate that fine scripture reading this morning. And we want to focus this morning on verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse number 7 has three times that little word, in. God wants us to be in on His plan. You say, preacher, I only see it in there two times. Just hold on. We'll get there. Hey, do you know what it's like to be on the outside of an inside joke? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, somebody has an inside joke, they got something going on, and they're over there laughing about it, and you're like, I don't get it, I don't know what's going on here, and you feel like you're on the outside, and you want to get in on it. It's an uneasy feeling sometimes. Well, I got to thinking here in the new year, God wants us to get in on His plan. I was thinking about that concept of outside jokes. I remember one time I was with a van load of teenagers, and we were talking about peer pressure. And I told them about this thing that I had heard about where you could tell somebody a joke that is absolutely meaningless, and the punchline makes absolutely no sense. But if you have a number of people in on it who are all going to laugh and think it's funny, then you can see what the person does and see if they laugh, even though the joke makes absolutely no sense. So I told the teenagers this on the van. And then a little later, we were on a bus ride, and one of my youth leaders was driving the bus, and we were in the back of the bus. I always sat in the back to keep an eye on things, you know. And we were in the back of the bus, and they said, Pastor Nieder, why don't you tell the penguin joke? And they said, Steve here never heard it. And I said, okay, we'll tell the penguin joke to Steve. So I said, hey, Steve, I've got to tell you this joke. This is really good. This is really funny, Steve. I said, these two penguins, they're up in the Arctic, you know, sliding around on the icebergs or whatever and jumping in the water like penguins do. And this one penguin says to the other penguin, hey, would you pass me the soap? And the other penguin looks at him and says, what do you think I am, a radio? And Steve did what you did. But all the kids who were in the van earlier, they just busted out laughing. Oh, man, that's so funny. Oh, and they're slapping their knees and just laughing and laughing. And Steve's looking like, Pastor Nieder, I don't get it. He didn't fall for the peer pressure, right? And so the kids are like, oh, man, it didn't work, you know. And so we let Steve in. We said, oh, you're right, Steve. There's no punchline. It's just a silly joke. And Steve goes, let's go tell Mr. So-and-so, the bus driver, one of my youth leaders. And I said, okay, let's go up. So we go up, and then Steve says, I'm going to tell it this time. So Steve, you know, he tells the whole joke, you know, two penguins, you know, out there, and the one penguin says, hey, pass me the soap, and the other penguin says, what do you think I am, a radio? And the whole bus starts cracking up, and I look over at the bus driver, and he's going, ah! And Steve goes, do you get it, Mr. So-and-so? Do you get it? And he goes, ah, yeah, that's a good one, that's a good one. And he goes, Mr. So-and-so, there's nothing to get. We tricked you. And so here the teenager didn't give in to peer pressure, but the youth leader did. And so it kind of backfired. But you know, there's something inside of us that wants to get in on what's going on. And even though Steve didn't give in the back of the bus, I'm still on the inside. He probably, you know, wished he knew what was going on. And I really think that God made us that way, so that we'd want to be in on things, so that we would want to get in on what God's plan is. There's something in our lives that can only be filled and fulfilled when we do God's plan for our lives. God wants us in on His plan. Before we can get in on His plan, we've got to understand what His plan is. So look down with me again at verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. Okay, rooted, built up, and established. That's in a nutshell God's plan for our lives. That's one way to look at God's will for every one of our lives. Colossians 2:7. There's other ways to look at it, but I like Colossians 2:7. Rooted, built up, and established in the faith. First of all, rooted. God wants our life to be firm in assurance and holding fast. First of all, God wants you to be saved. There's a big difference between what people call Christianity, but it's a hope-so Christianity, and a no-so Christianity. Really, the hope-so Christianity isn't Christianity at all. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God wants us to have a no-so salvation. We were talking to somebody yesterday out on soul winning, and he said, it was Kenny and I, and he said, well, I hope so. I hope I'm going to heaven. And I said to him, look, the Bible's written so you can know. It's not a hope-so thing. It's a no-so Christianity. And God wants us to be rooted. He wants us to have that full assurance that we're on our way to heaven. How do we have assurance of our salvation? It's through Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. See, eternal life is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life, and that's our assurance. Our assurance is not based on our own lives. Now, since you've been saved, you're a new person on the inside. And that ought to show on the outside. But folks, sometimes it doesn't show on the outside like it ought to. That's wrong. That's bad. But it doesn't mean you're not saved. The evidences of salvation can prove that you're saved, but you shouldn't use them to prove that you're not saved. And I'll explain that. Evidences can show you're saved. Man, you love the Bible. You love the people of God. You want to come to church. Well, that's some evidence. That can encourage you. Hey, my salvation is real. But just because someone doesn't love the Bible like they should, that doesn't mean they're not saved. It's a problem. But you folks, if we look at our own lives for assurance and say, well, you know, I love the Bible, sort of, but man, I didn't really feel like reading it this morning. I was up late last night and, you know, maybe I'm not really saved. Now, that's crazy. You see, your assurance is not in your own life. It's not in your own works. Your assurance is in the Bible and what it says about receiving Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior because you called and asked Him to save you and you weren't just fooling about it, well, then He saved you. And you can have that peace and assurance and be rooted, and have that full assurance. He wants us to be rooted. He wants you to be baptized. Now, baptism doesn't involve your salvation. But after you're saved, He wants you to be baptized. It's part of getting rooted. It's part of putting down those roots and getting where you could start to grow as a Christian. He wants you to be baptized. Then He wants you to be a member of a Bible-preaching local church like this one. He wants you to be a member, to join that church. Why? Because you're putting down your roots. You know, God's not pleased with sporadic church attendance. He wants you to be rooted. He's not pleased with church hopping. You know, people who say, well, you know, I go to this church some, and I go to this church some, and I go to this church some. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. It won't work for your family. But if you could put down some roots and say, hey, I need to find a Bible-preaching church where the Lord wants me to be, and put down some roots where you're there faithfully in all the services, then you'll see your kids start to get involved, start to take part in different things going on, and start to grow spiritually. And it works when you get rooted. You and your family will benefit greatly in 2012 if you'll have a faithful commitment to be involved in your local church. Be rooted. That's part of God's plan. Then it says build up. Build up. God wants us to be growing Christians. I like to say this, there are really only two kinds of Christians, growing and not growing. Growing and not, there are no super Christians, okay? If you come up here and tear open pastor's shirt, there's no S on my chest, okay? There's no Superman Christians. There's growing Christians and there's not growing Christians. And in 2012, I want to be a growing Christian. I want to be closer to the Lord this year than I was last year. I want to be a growing Christian. You see, somebody before they're saved, they're going their own way. Maybe they're trying to get to heaven on their own. Maybe they could care less about heaven, but they're going their own way. And the truth is, without Christ, they're headed to a lost eternity in hell. But there comes a time when they understand the Bible, and somebody, a soul winner maybe from our church, or somebody shows them how they can receive Christ as Savior, and they say, that's what I need. And they change their mind. They repent. They turn around and they say, I want Jesus as my Savior. And they call upon the Lord to save them. Guess what? Now they're going a different direction. And they need to grow. You need to get baptized, join the church, start reading your Bible, start praying, start coming to church. And little by little, you start growing spiritually to be more and more of what God wants you to be. Now, you know what? The goal is to be perfectly like Jesus Christ. None of us are going to get to that goal in this life all the way. But we ought to be making progress. We ought to be making progress. And I want to be a growing Christian. I want to be built up, as that verse says, built up. Now, some Christians, they're saved, they've repented, but they're backsliding. They're going the wrong way. The truth is, it's kind of hard to stay still. It's kind of hard to stay still because the devil tries to pull you back. You're either a growing Christian or you're a not growing Christian. And there's only two kinds. How are you planning to grow spiritually in the next year? We're going to talk about that in Sunday school. We did this morning, and we'll continue for a couple weeks. But I wonder, will you commit to reading your Bible every day in 2012? Will you increase your Bible reading this year more than last year? Will you take part in Scripture memory this year? Will you establish a daily prayer time? Will you improve your prayer time, either in quantity or in quality time? Will you improve your prayer time this year? Will you get serious about communicating with God? Will you take part in our Wednesday church prayer meetings and get serious about prayer? How will you grow this year? Will you be built up in Him? Or will you set aside some time for personal soul winning? Will you ask God to give you one soul this year, or three souls this year, or five, or 10, or 25? Okay, let's make some plans for 2012. Will you read some books that will impact your spiritual growth this year? You know, you might not be able to spend as much time with your hobby or golfing or boating or watching TV or grooming the yard, but you can be built up in 2012. You can grow spiritually. You can be more of what God wants you to be. God's plan for our lives in a nutshell right here: rooted, built up, and then it says established in the faith. We would use the word established. Established. God wants spiritual maturity and stability. That's God's goal for you. Now, if you're newly saved, it might take you a couple months, maybe a year to get established. But God's goal is spiritual stability. Too many Christians today are characterized by instability. You know, they get mad at somebody at church, and so they begin to fall away. Or they don't agree with something the pastor says. You know, when I'm teaching Sunday school and preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, that's four times a week, you're going to find something you don't agree with, all right? You know, God's word is true, and either I'm seeing it wrong or you're seeing it wrong, but there's some minor things that we might disagree on. That doesn't mean that you just get out of church and start falling away. God wants some stability. He wants some spiritual maturity. It's possible that on some minor things, we might agree to disagree. And as I grow spiritually, maybe I'll start to see it your way. As you grow spiritually, maybe you'll start to see it my way. But it's not my way, your way. It's God's way that counts. And as we draw closer to Him, we draw closer to each other. Isn't it true? And God wants some spiritual maturity, some stability. Sometimes somebody will say something offensive to you and you take offense to it, and in essence you start blaming God for it, and pretty soon you start dropping off when it comes to church. Listen, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. God wants you to have stability and spiritual maturity. He wants to make us into that spiritual rock that cannot be moved. I remember as a teenager learning that song, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, Lord, I shall not be moved. How many know that song? Okay? Great, great old song. I shall not be moved. Like that tree. He's planted by the water and he's put down his roots and he's getting stronger and stronger and growing taller and taller. That's what God wants. Spiritual stability in our lives. Now think about these things. Rooted, built up, and established. This just hit me this morning. That fits perfectly with the purpose that our church has laid out on the back of our church bulletin. Loving God, growing together, and serving others. Okay, rooted, loving God. Put down your roots. Just start loving God, start being faithful in church, be rooted. And then build up, growing together. That's why we have fellowship times. We're going to get together tonight after church, have some fellowship. Why? We're growing together. Rooted, build up, growing together, and then serving others. Getting established in the faith where now you're serving others. You're taking on a soul-winning ministry and a service ministry in the church. Don't take on 5 or 10 ministries. You'll get overwhelmed. Take on one soul-winning ministry and one service ministry and allow God to use you and be established in the faith. Now, that's God's plan in a nutshell. What I really want to focus on in the just a few minutes left is this idea of getting in on God's plan. Not being left out, not being on the outside, looking in, but getting in on God's plan. Look again at verse 7, and let's see this word in. It says, rooted and built up in Him. In Him. You know, it's not in ourselves in 2012 that we're going to see God's plan accomplished in our lives. It's not by trying harder. We ought to plan and set some goals, but it's not by our planning and our scheming and our setting goals that we're going to increase in our Christian walk. It's in Him. In Him. Folks, the Christian life can be frustrating if you try to live it in yourself. If you say, I'm going to try this hard, I'm going to make some New Year's resolutions, you know, and going to, you know, put my foot down and pick myself up by my own bootstraps. You think about that. That's a physical impossibility to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps, right? It's not going to work, okay? Just impossible. And yet we try to live the Christian life that way. We think, well, if I just tried a little harder this year, you know, maybe I'd do better. No, it's not trying harder. It's surrendering more. It's saying, Jesus, I can't grow in fellowship with you on my own, but I'm going to surrender to you like never before. I'm going to, before my feet hit the floor in the morning, I'm going to say, my life's yours again today, God. Take over. Speak to me now as I read your word, as I pray. Help me through the day to be a testimony and witness for you and resist temptation. Lord, I'm relying on you today. And in Him, you'll be rooted, built up, and established in Him, not in ourselves. We've got to let that sink in. John 3:30, He must increase and I must decrease. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me lives in me, is consumed with me. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. You see, focusing on Him is what gets us in on what God is doing. You say, I want to get in on God's plan for my life, for my family, for Bethel Baptist Church. I want to be in on it. I don't want to be on the outside looking in. I want to get in on God's plan. Well, focus on Him. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now that sounds like some self-effort, doesn't it? Lay aside the sin. Lay aside the weights. Run the race. A lot of effort there. But look at verse 2, because it tells you how to do it. You can't do it in your own strength. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, look, look to Jesus. He's the one. Look what he did. He endured the cross. That's a lot tougher than what I'm going to have to endure this year. And now God has exalted him on the right hand of God. Listen, if we'll look to him, he can get us through that race. He can help us run that race and lay aside the weights. But we've got to look to him. Look at verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him. Consider him. Oh, that in 2012, we would get serious about considering him, about looking unto Jesus, about getting a clear picture in our mind's eye and from his word so we can see him like never before. And then we'll be able to be rooted, build up, and established. We'll get in on God's plan if we get in him. Back to Colossians chapter 2. Three times this word in shows up. First of all, it says in verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Then Colossians 2:7 says, established in, what's the next two words? The faith. The faith. Established in the faith. Not only are we in him, but secondly, we are in the faith. Now, these words, the faith, stand for the whole body of truth that's communicated to us in the Scriptures. Sometimes in the Bible, you'll read the word faith by itself. Sometimes you'll read the faith. And when you read the faith, we're talking about the whole body of truth, everything that's communicated to us in the Scriptures. Listen to what the Bible says about the faith. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together as a church for the whole of what God has taught us in his word. We don't want to just obey part of this word. We want to obey it all. We don't want to just obey the part about soul winning and neglect the part about clean, holy Christian living. We don't want to just have Bible preaching but then have worldly music. We want to obey the whole of Scripture. We want to do everything that God says in his word. Galatians 1:23, Paul says, they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Paul said, they heard that now I'm preaching the faith that I used to destroy, and they glorified God. You want God to be glorified in your life? Then you just say, I'm going to preach the faith. I'm going to let people know about the whole counsel of God. Galatians 2:20, if you know it, say it with me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure or the stature of the fullness of Christ. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, you finish it, I have kept the faith. Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Listen, we need to live for the faith. You want to get in on what God has planned for you and for your family and for our church this year? First, be in him. Secondly, be in the faith. Be focusing on the whole of God's word, the truth of Scripture. You see, getting in on God's word gets us in on what God's doing, because all that he's doing revolves around his word. I hope that in 2012, Bethel Baptist Church will continue to make much of God's word. I hope that we will be in the faith, in the Scripture, in the whole of God's word. We'll do different things. You know, in March, we'll have Scripture Memory Month again, and we'll have all kinds of ways that you can get in on what God's doing through His Word. And I hope you'll take part in every one of them. Focus on the faith. The whole of Scripture is revealed to us. Back to Colossians 2:7. You say, well, preacher, I see that word in verse 7 when it says in Him. And I see what it says in the faith. But I don't see any other words in that verse. Well, it's kind of hidden on us there. It says, as ye have been taught, abounding therein. There it is. Therein. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Therein is an old-fashioned way of saying in it. Okay, abounding in it. Abounding in what? Look again at the verse. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein. Abounding in it. In what? In the teaching. In the teaching. As ye have been taught, abounding therein. Listen, you want to get in on what God's doing? First of all, focus on Him. Be in Him. Secondly, focus on the Word. Be in the faith. But then thirdly, be in the teaching. Abounding therein, it says. Abounding in the teaching. What God is teaching you. I think it's through your daily Bible reading, but I think it's also through what goes on in a Bible preaching church like this, abounding in the teaching. You know, some come to church, they hear the teaching, but they don't abound therein. How could a person abound therein? How could they abound in the teaching? Well, they could listen attentively. Hey, if you're having trouble today because you stayed up till midnight last night for New Year's, that's all right. I understand. I think it's the preacher's job to keep you awake, so I'm not upset at anybody if you're sleepy today. But wake up and listen for a minute, okay? How can you abound in the teaching? Listen attentively. Maybe take some notes. Maybe refer back to it later. You know, refer back to it later. Brother Ken gave me a testimony last month. He said, I've gotten such a blessing because the Lord's been using him to put these messages up on the internet. And he says, before I put them up on the internet, I listen to them through again as I get ready to put them up, and I clean out some of the audio noises and things like that. And I said, man, that's a lot of work, Ken. You go through the whole sermon again before you put it up on the internet, and I don't feel like you got to do that. That's a lot of work. He says, no, Pastor. He says, I'm enjoying it because when I hear it the second time, it sinks in a lot better. I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. But you know, if you take some notes, refer back to it later. Refer back to it later. Take a look at it. Maybe talk about it Sunday afternoon at the lunch table. Instead of having the preacher for dinner, have the sermon for dinner, you know. Talk about the things that you learn. Talk about it. That's abounding therein. And then most importantly, of course, put it into practice. Put it into practice. Now, I pray that the Lord will help me in 2012 to have messages from Him that are practical, that you can put into practice. But James 1:22 says to us all, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, if we listen to everything that's going on, but we don't put it into practice, we're just kidding ourselves. We think we're pretty good. I come to church all the time. I hear the messages all the time. Yeah, but we're just kidding ourselves if we don't put it into practice. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's get in the teaching. It says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. People who abound in the teaching are the ones who get in on what God's trying to do here. And it'll be interesting. I think God's going to do some exciting things. Some of you look at 2011 and you say, oh man, we didn't get into our new building yet. All right, that's disappointing, okay? But you know what? Don't miss all the good things that God's done. Look around you and see some of the new faces that have people have been saved and people that are growing in the Lord and that God has reached. Think about how some people have been here for a long time, but how they've grown spiritually. Think about some of the different things that God did in miraculous ways, you know, at Easter time and our Christmas program, having 98 people here on Christmas. That was Christmas, week before Christmas. That was amazing how God is at work. And you can See, some people are in on what God's doing and they're in tune with it and they realize and they're excited. Other people, they don't see what God's doing. Why not? We get in on it by focusing on Him, by focusing on the whole of the faith, and by focusing on the teaching that God has given us week by week through our Sunday school teachers and others here at Bethel Baptist Church. Are you in on what God's doing? Are you tuned in to what He's trying to do in your life? Are you in on what He wants to do for 2012 in your family? For your husband, your wife, your kids, your grandkids? Are you tuned in? Are you in on what He's doing in your church, or are you just an observer? Are you in on what He's doing in Northport, trying to reach this community for Christ? You see, some people God uses to make things happen. Some people watch what happens. And some people say, what? What happened? I missed it. You know? I want to be one of those people that's in on what God is doing. How? Focus on Him. Focus on His Word. And focus on His work. The end of the verse says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And the truth is that you will be so thankful that you got in on what God's doing. You'll be so thankful that you got in on God's plan. If you're kind of new around here, get in on God's plan. Get rooted. Love God. If you've been around for a while, then get built up. Let's grow together. If you've been around a long time, then let's get established. Let's serve others. Let's get busy for God. And folks, if we'll get in on what God's doing, we'll be thankful. It says, we'll abound therein with thanksgiving. We'll be so glad. We won't look back and say, oh man, I wasted 2012. Maybe if you got honest, you'd have to say that about 2011. But you don't have to say that for 2012. You'll be able to look back with thanksgiving. You'll say, wow, God used my life. It's been wonderful. It's been great. God's at work. And I'm so glad I'm in on God's plan. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.